So someone's having experience of the body shaking, and I think this is again probably in the spectrum of what's called piti, rapture. So in the factors of jhana, vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. So five factors. Vitaka is like placing the mind on the object all the time, coming back to the breath, coming back to the breath. And we're not doing it for the sake of jhana, but it's just another way of looking at it. Doing it to maintain consistent mindfulness, and samma samadhi is the result. And a little bit or a lot, depending on our accumulated barami. Placing the mind on the object, placing the mind on the object, and then the mind is kind of staying on the object. That's vitaka and vichara. What can happen then is a rapture arises. So for some people that's a feeling of empty space, vast, like empty space. And then this is kind of usually occurring in like what they call upajara samadhi. Ajahn Anand talks about that a lot. That's when the mind is touching on ajhana, close to absorption, but not completely absorbed. Some of these states can be very, very peaceful. And it is samadhi. It's just not quite jhana. But don't go thinking it's not, you know, it's not good. It's wonderful. And it's through coming to that again and again and again that it becomes jhana one day in its own time when conditions are right. But some people might feel open, spacious, as big as the sky, and others, there are limitations of conventional speech when you say some people might feel. In that experience, there's not much of a sense of being a person. The mind is experiencing a sense of incredible spaciousness. Other people can feel really solid and heavy like a mountain, but it's not unpleasant. It's this feeling of kind of immovable, firm, at the same time it's very cool, and so some people might experience that. Other people, it's the hairs going up on end all over the body. Other people, it's tears, and they're happy tears. So this is, the mind is turning inwards and experiencing its own innate capacity to feel blissful feelings. So deeper than this is the sukha, or the sometimes in the another list, a similar thing called pasati, which is like tranquility or very sublime kind of mental pleasure. So in the meditation you actually want to go deeper than the rapture and just feel a profound kind of peaceful coolness. But again, just because we're at this stage in the retreat, some people might be experiencing these things, and just to be aware that not to get fascinated, not to get frightened, just keep meditating. And if you can understand that that kind of phenomena, the trilling sensations, the tears, the huge space, the heaviness, the hair on end, you can see that as like waves on top of an ocean, and the coolness, the deeper, when the samadhi is getting deeper, you see that as like diving down deeper. You want to go past and deeper into deep tranquility. And so again, we get this stage where the mind starts getting sensitive and interesting things start happening. We have to guard not to get fascinated, not to get frightened, not to crave. All the other ways, the hindrances can start manifesting on a more subtle level. And they can trick you because you might not have had these kind of hindrances before. They're more subtle than the normal ones. It's not like wanting a piece of chocolate cake. Then just staying, and not to be frightened either. If the mind starts to feel like more peaceful than it's ever felt before, not to be frightened, and just stay there. And what will happen is the mind will move from its peaceful state. And then Ajahn Anand keeps instructing us. Then we investigate the nature of the body, the elements, body parts, three characteristics. So at that time, although the mind will feel like it doesn't want to meditate anymore and be very happy, it actually has a lot of energy in it, and you have to be careful what you do at that time. And it's a very good time to investigate, because the mind has more clarity and more energy than normal. So that's when you put it to work, and the investigation goes deeper. And you might find that through the power of the investigation, then the mind becomes peaceful again. And so this way, wise contemplation and samadhi support each other and deepen each other. So you have a great meditation. You don't have to get up and tell everybody. Keep going. It might get better and better. And it will get better and better. So this kind of shaking, I think, is what it is. At the same time, I wouldn't try to feed a physical shaking. So if you can hold the body fairly still, what you might find is feelings of rapture in the mind. So it's like the mind is like probably waving with rapture, and the body's going with it. But if you hold the body still, not in really controlling, but just kind of steady and peaceful, you might feel that energy rippling through the body. But it's probably good. And this person mentions that when they were asked for forgiveness and they felt that they were forgiven for a particular thing, they felt a lot of shaking, but there was a felt forgiven, I would assume, is a very pleasant feeling. So I think I'm going to answer this person's questions one-on-one with Ajahn Pavaro, because it's very specific advice to one person. But just after radiating metta, which I practice before my sittings, it's easy and smooth for the mind to settle, followed by beautiful peace, stillness, no thoughts, and when thoughts come, they just go by without much effort. Of course, I have my in and out breath, but what happens next is that the breath becomes soft and subtle, and at times I don't know it's there. At this point, my mind is so clear, and I realize that, she was using the word mass in a question last, is actually the clarity and the beautiful space. It goes on, and there is the feeling of a push, and it gets clearer, and after each push, it's clearer, and it's like space through glass. So I think I understand what this person's experiencing is a sense of the mindfulness is getting more refined, and the mind is collecting, and that feeling of push is actually kind of the power of the sati and the samadhi, and the mind's coming more and more inwards. So in the afternoons, so this is also interesting to see, and in the afternoons it's not that kind of blissful. My sittings are disturbed, and I do walking. After the sittings, the mindfulness will stay, but then it gets less when I retire upstairs. So this is normal. We can't grasp at any of these states as permanent, and it's when the mind is turning inwards, it's like the mind sense door is actually pulling away from the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and body. So usually ordinary waking consciousness, the mind is interested in sight, sounds, tastes, thoughts, and attending to these things. And when we close the eyes and we pull the meditation inwards and these kind of things, what's actually occurring is the mind sense door is turning inwards, pulling away from the more coarse sense doors. And so for it to do that, you need to maintain consistent mindfulness and then right mindfulness, and then some samadhi develops. And this is basically samadhi. It's still probably upajara samadhi, but upajara, you know, touching on jhana, can be very refined. So that sense of, I need to ask this person one-on-one a couple of questions, but anyway, it's to see exactly what it is. But it's a good sign that one's efforts to be consistently mindful and circumspect are getting some good results. But once again, it's the coming out of the peace, being really careful with what we attend to, and using the extra energy to contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta, and understand that it's arising due to conditions. And then when it kind of begins to crumble, that's also because of conditions. It's the mind's going back to a more normal state, and that's okay. But we understand if we put forth a similar amount of effort, consistently mindful and samadhi, it comes back again to that kind of peace. Anyway, it sounds good to me.